Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to another service here at Unity Center of Life, from our home to your home. I'm Reverend Millage Mosby.
And I'm Pamela Mosby.
We look forward to bringing you this service today. Make sure that you watch the Zoom, check in on Zoom with us so you can fellowship with your other Unity family. And also, a special announcement is we are having our membership meeting today. So please join us with that. That's going to be at 1 o'clock. And you can find the link for that in your e-newsletter and your weekly update, also for joining us in Zoom. So right now, we're going to get started with Pamela.
Thanks. Good morning and welcome to Unity Center of Light, a spiritual community that nurtures the growth of all who are seeking to develop the potential of their spirit, mind, and body. Please join me as we affirm our mission and foundation statements together. Let's begin with the mission statement. The mission of Unity Center of Light is to empower individuals to express their indwelling divine potential. We teach there is a power within each of us far greater than anything that exists outside of us. Now let's affirm our foundation statement. There is only one power and one presence active in my life and affairs, God the Good, Omnipotent. Amen. And now we will have the daily word for today, Sunday, March the 13th. The key word is light. And the affirmation is, the light of truth dissolves all darkness. A bird's cheerful song interrupts the quiet of the night. The dark sky grows lighter and puffy clouds begin to glow with a beautiful shade of pink. Brilliant rays announce the sun's arrival. The sun peeks over the horizon, flooding the new day with light. Light dissolves darkness in my consciousness in a similar way. At a challenging time, my heart responds to the hopeful thought that this too shall pass. Hope grows into faith as my mind opens to divine wisdom. That divine wisdom is always mine to claim. Guided by the dawning light of truth, I see the way forward and follow it with confidence. As surely as each new day brings a sunrise, my faith assures me the light of truth will surely dissolve the darkness of any obstacle I may face. The scripture reading is taken from John 1, 5, and it reads, "The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome." Amen. And now we'll have the Sunday message with Reverend Butch.
Thank you, Hannah. So we are into part two of Release and Renew, Spiritual Practice for Lent. And release and renew, boy, there is just no end to the lessons of letting go. And today we're going to hear some of the things you've heard before, but then we're going to dig deeper into this idea of letting go. And, you know, like I said, there's no end to it, probably because even though it may be easy to understand, you know, letting go, and we always say that to us, just let it go, right? But it's by no means easy to apply it to some of the situations that come up in our lives. You know, listen to these directions for our letting go written as if they were coming from the Holy Spirit. It says, today is the day for letting go. Let go of the questions of your heart, the whys, the what ifs, and the hows. They're not essential to this moment. Let go of the urge to analyze and ponder. Release everything to me. Let it all be lifted from your shoulders like a feather on a breeze, and let your mind and heart be light. It is in the letting go that you find strength. Let go of the past. You're free to experience this moment to its fullest. Release your concerns about tomorrow and live for today. Give all else to me. Relax in my presence. Let my love sustain you, and let my peace be enough for the day. Release and let go. Okay? So, again, release and renew is, again, it's not a new subject for us. You know, we explore it in one way or another in every lesson that we teach. The reason why, you know, we explore it so much is because the concept itself is so challenging. And it may be because at some level we might feel it is somehow irresponsible to not worry. Think about that. Or to not be concerned about our life and all that it entails. You know, letting go of our concerns about the things that demand our attention may seem impractical, if not actually impossible. You might be thinking to yourself, how do I let go? How do I not be concerned about what's happening in my life? But if we need to make sure, what we need to make sure of is that we understand about this lesson that letting go is or not being told not to dream, not to plan, not to have goals and aspirations. And we're not being told to be irresponsible, to not take care of those daily things that demand our attention. This is an aspect of what Jesus meant when he said in Matthew 22:21, render therefore to Caesar the things that are Caesar's and to God the things that are God's. Meaning, yes, it's important to do the spiritual practices that keep you in alignment with spirit, you know, such as daily prayer and meditation, service to others and tithing to the place where you receive your spiritual food. You know, you do those things that are in service to God, so to speak. This is rendering to God the things that are God's. But Jesus also is saying you must also give the time and resources necessary to take care of the worldly things that demand your attention, which is the reference to Caesar. Okay. So what we're being told is not to worry about the worldly things that demand our attention. Okay. As is written in John 14:27, Jesus said to us, do not let your hearts be troubled and do not let them be afraid. And just before this verse in 14:25, Jesus explained why we should not live in fear and worry. And this is what he said. He said, I've said these things to you while I am still with you. But the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom your Father will send in my name, will teach you all these things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. Okay. So in other words, Jesus knew that we would forget a lot of what he taught us. You think about these lessons, you know, how much of these lessons do you remember, you know, after you get out into the world and you're kind of going back and say, oh, I just learned how, blump, boom, and you know, you don't remember all of what's taught. So, you know, why do we forget? Maybe it's because what we experience in the world makes such a great impression on what we believe to be our reality. And we're going to talk a lot about this idea of reality in this lesson. And this might cause us to rely on the physical rather than the metaphysical. The metaphysical being the Holy Spirit, the divine healing that underlies the physical. And we, you know, we can't see the physical, I mean the metaphysical a lot. So our mind goes right to the physical. So whereas Jesus taught us that my Father is greater than all, John 10:29, as much as we like the sound of that, our mind is more engaged in the fulfillment of our material needs and wants, making this pursuit of our material needs and wants greater than all. So even though Jesus said, my Father is greater than all, God is greater than all, for us, the material world seems to be greater than all. And this is not saying that our material wants and needs are not important, because where we are in consciousness right now, they are. Okay. However, the study of release and renew is about repositioning our priorities, which is explained in Matthew 6:33. So repositioning our priorities, Matthew 6:33 says, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be given as well. So it's this idea of putting God first, which means instead of working from our intellect, we learn how to work from our inner spirit. And last week we talked a lot about our intuition. And our inner spirit, especially the Holy Spirit, is our personal guide, protector, supplier, and comforter. So we learn how to work from that. So if you combine that thought with last week's talk, you begin to understand this idea of seek ye first the kingdom. In other words, seek ye first the kingdom means what's coming up in me? What's percolating up in me that gives me some divine guidance in terms of what is happening in my life? So I venture to guess that probably in the life of everyone listening, including myself, there is something going on in our lives that is weighing heavily on our minds. But whatever we are challenged with, struggling to get or to get rid of or to hold on to, nothing in our physical lives equates to the power and presence of the Holy Spirit within us. for our spiritual growth to really expand, we need to constantly remember, and you can almost say this with me, that there is something within us that's far greater than anything that exists outside of us. But, you know, like me, there may be many of you who have been on a spiritual path for a while who are asking, how do I tap into this inner power and presence and continuously embody and live by all these spiritual ideals that, you know, that we're learning? But if we are honest with ourselves, we may discover that our greatest reason for wanting to be more spiritual has more material intention than spiritual intentions. Listen, you hear what I'm saying? You know, again, you know, it's a notion from Matthew 6:33. What are we seeking first? Okay? So if we're honest with ourselves, are we first seeking, you know, the kingdom of God, the connection with our inner spirit, or are we first seeking, you know, the material world? And to give direction to that question, the greatest thing we need right now, right here, right now, is faith. Okay? Because with faith, we would be able to seek God first, knowing that that would then lead to all the things that we say we want in our lives. So faith, you know, that power and presence, you know, in power and presence that exists within us, that's what we're seeking, providing us with the divine ideas that will lead us to obtaining all our wants and needs. And again, we read in the 2022 Lent booklet an article by Reverend Colbert, and it's titled Walking in the Oneness of Faith. And it explains, within each of us is a wellspring of faith readily available as we open our minds and hearts to our oneness, our constant connection with God. Love is a catalyst for faith. Love is a catalyst for faith. Grounding ourselves in loving kindness elevates us, making our faith bloom. And by consciously weeding out negative thoughts, words, and judgments, we draw more loving conditions into our lives, which activates faith. Okay? So like turning on a light switch in the brain and heart, everything around us brightens. And when we change the way we look at and speak about life, we see through our glass clearly, and we are lifted, causing our faith to grow. Okay? And again, that's in this year's Lenten booklet. So if you're still wondering how this is going to happen, who or what is going to help me remember, okay? Well, as Jesus promised, he said that when he left this plane, that God would send the Holy Spirit, which will teach us all we need to know. Now, this Holy Spirit is another name for this, you know, if you like better the name intuition, but that intuition, thing that percolates up inside of you that knows this is the right thing to do, or this is a way to get done what you're trying to do, okay? So that's the idea of the Holy Spirit, and will teach us all we need to know, thereby bringing back into our mind, body, and spirit the remembrance of all that Jesus taught us. Simply, he is saying the Holy Spirit will help us to remember who we really are. So we all know the Holy Spirit to be part of the Trinity, you know, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Or from a metaphysical perspective, mind, idea, expression, or as we have said before, I am conscious, I am expressed. Okay, so the Holy Spirit is that part of God that expresses within us, expresses as divine ideas. So in the metaphysical Trinity, the Holy Spirit is interpreted as God expressing, okay, and without knowing it, the Holy Spirit is what we ask for in prayer. So when we're praying, what we're really asking for is the Holy Spirit. Whatever our prayer need might be, what we're asking for is the Holy Spirit, meaning we're asking for God to express in our lives. Okay? So it's written in the Revealing Word that the Holy Spirit is the Word. The Holy Spirit is in the world today with great power and wisdom, ready to be poured upon all who look to it for guidance. The Holy Spirit's mission is to bring all into communion with God, to guide us so that we do not mistake the true way to come into the light and love of God. Okay? So, again, that sounds good. But is it something that we really understand? Because without understanding, we may not be able to believe it. And if we can't believe this idea that the Holy Spirit is our personal guide, we will not be able to live by it. And I know that there are times in my life when what I'm thinking or feeling is not the true way to enter into the light and love of God. Okay? And during those times, I often do not receive any guidance because my ego is so entangled in its own stuff that it can't hear any guidance. It's not that I'm not receiving the guidance. It's that I'm not in a mental, emotional, spiritual place to hear the guidance. But what I do know enough to do is at least make an effort to be still, to take time to still my mind and let go of my own stuff to give the Holy Spirit a chance to express through me. Okay? And as we have often said, relationships are the best place to practice letting go. Letting go of our need to be right, of our need to project our own stuff onto others, of our need to control. So how do we learn how to let go in those crucial moments when the ego flares up? Okay. So Sufi Sheikh Kabir Helminski, okay, thank you, says the ability to let go of our ego needs in the midst of relationship encounters is a matter of our heart rather than our head. And this is what he says. He asks the question, how do you know if your heart is awake, sensitive, and functioning, as opposed to being constricted and numb? When your heart is not functioning as it is meant to, you perceive things that are not really happening, and you project dramas that actually only exist in your mind. Does that sound familiar? But to the extent that your heart is open and healthy, you perceive that you live in a very tender universe, and you begin to see the tender aspects of others, even if they are not being tender and loving. Okay. So, and even though this may sound impossible, have you ever listened to the Dalai Lama or read his books or listened to Thich Nhat Hanh, who is, unfortunately has passed away, or read his books? You know, these are two people who have been exiled from their countries but still choose to function from a tender, loving heart. So you may be thinking, how is that possible? You know, but we've talked about the practice of mindfulness, all right? A state of mind practiced by these two beautiful souls. And as we have explored before, the practice of mindfulness is similar to what we would call faithfulness, okay? It's the ability to remain centered in the reality that God is real and in charge of your life and affairs. So when we find ourselves in turmoil, it's because instead of being mindful, now listen to this, we're being forgetful. We're forgetting our true mind. So how do I rediscover my true mind, you might be asking. Well, you awaken to your true mind by practicing being mindful of the power and presence of the Holy Spirit, regardless of the situation or circumstance you might find yourself in. So the practice of mindfulness is a practice of letting go. Okay? You cannot be mindful and hold on to your psychological, emotional baggage at the same time. As we quoted before, Erica Badu says in her song, Bag Lady, the shame is not in having baggage. It's hanging on to it. It is being unwilling to just let it go. Okay? So, in Thich Nhat Hanh's book, Transformation and Healing, he explains four principles for the practice of mindfulness. And as we listen to these concepts, keep in mind that the practice of mindfulness is the practice of letting go. It's the practice of releasing. Okay? So the first principle for practicing mindfulness is all is mine, all things are consciousness. Okay? All is mine. That sounds like Course in Miracles for those of you who are studying Course in Miracles. Okay? All is mine, all things are consciousness. meaning simply that we must avoid thinking that the object we are observing, obsessing over, worrying about, coveting, is independent of our mind. There is nothing out there that you are observing and defining that is independent of what is occurring in your mind. Okay? So, for example, this first principle, let me just bring up another one to give you an example of what that's all about. So, you know, someone expresses a behavior towards you that you define as hurtful. Okay? So this principle is saying you are not independent of the behavior you are observing. Instead, you have allowed yourself to become codependent with the behavior you are observing. So what you are observing in others that may be hurting you, bothering you, you've actually become codependent with those. Codependence is allowing the behavior of others to influence how you think and feel, or it is a strong urge and need on your part to control others, okay? So that's what that first principle is talking about in terms of getting to this idea of mindfulness, of being able to understand that dynamic within yourself. And once you understand that, it gives you an edge to be able to move back into a state of mindfulness, okay? Now, the second principle for practicing mindfulness is a little more challenging to understand, and it definitely encompasses the idea in quantum mechanics, okay? And this is something hopefully you might bring up in the discussion we have in the Zoom fellowship to talk more about. But it says, to observe, now listen to this, is to become one with the object being observed. To observe is to become one with the object being observed. So, yeah, this is a challenging idea, all right, or a concept. But listen to this description from the book by Dr. Alberto Villoldo. Is that what you say? Villoldo. Okay. And it's from his book called Courage, Courageous Dreaming, How Shamans Dream the World into Being. So it says the ancient shamans understood that we not only create our experience of the world, but are actually dreaming up the very nature of reality itself. Now, modern physics, you know, basically talking about quantum physics, also tells us that we are dreaming our world into being with every thought, whether we realize it or not. So what we are engaging in isn't the sleeping dream we're familiar with, but the waking dream we craft with our eyes wide open. Okay? So it seems that everywhere we look in the search for spiritual understanding, there's more and more validation and verification of the idea that we create our experience by the way we think. Now, this is a thought that many of us are not yet quite comfortable with, asking ourselves, how is this possible? How are we creating this? Okay, or you might not even be willing to accept it just yet. I don't know how fully I accept it, as much as I teach it and talk about it, as much as I understand about quantum physics. I tell you, the book I'm reading now called The Physics of Consciousness is breaking this all down about how that's happening. Deepak Chopra is very much, a lot of his work is around this idea, where he says, when you're looking this way, what's going on behind you is nothing but quantum soup, meaning there's nothing going back there really, because where you are observing and expect to see, that's what you are creating. That's, you know, that's a mind-blowing thing to think about. But however, as you know, the importance of doing the work to understand the true nature of our body, mind, and spirit is to grasp the idea that we have the power, with the help of the Holy Spirit, let me just make that emphasis. We have the power, with the help of the Holy Spirit, to create and recreate our reality. Now, I think of some nature we can understand it, because many of us throughout our lives have done that. We've recreated our reality. We've recreated our experience, okay? And this understanding is more important in our lives now than ever before. We have been given the opportunity via the pandemic to release from our minds old thinking and old paradigms and become open and receptive to the divine unfolding of ideas from the universe as to how we can create new ways of being in the world and being in community with each other. Okay? So to further expand our understanding of this second principle, Thich Nhat Hanh explains in his book, when the nature of the observing mind is mindfulness, the observing mind does not lose itself in the person or circumstance being observed. Now, let me say that again. When the nature of the observing mind is mindfulness, the observing mind does not lose itself in the person or circumstance being observed. Rather, it transforms the situation by illuminating it. But when we are forgetful, we allow ourselves to be transformed into the negative nature of the behavior or circumstance we are observing. Okay? And hopefully that makes sense after you heard it again that way. So now, the third principle for practicing mindfulness is our true spiritual or Christ mind and our ego mind are but two aspects of the same mind. Okay, so the question is, moment by moment, which do we choose? Which are we operating from? You know, as we know, we start by functioning always typically from our ego mind. But through the practice of mindfulness, we begin to let go of our ego interpretations, which allows our true spiritual mind to rise up. All right? So it's not a matter of searching for another mind that we call spiritual. Rather, it's through the practice of releasing our old stuff, our old baggage, that we transform our ego mind. And again, the words of Erica Badu, the shame is not in having baggage. It is refusing to give it up, releasing it and letting it go. You know, that is our challenge. Now, the fourth principle for practicing mindfulness is the way of no conflict, okay? The way of no conflict. So the idea here is that as we work with the ideas of letting go that we've been studying, we'll find ourselves in a battle with our old stuff, the old cravings of our body and our mind. So you're trying to let go, and you find yourself in this battle. Just on a simple level, say you want to give up sugar, you know, sweets. You know, and so something like that that you guys can relate to. But, you know, that's one level. But there's higher and higher levels of things we're trying to give up, these old cravings, old ways of being. And this battle ensues between us, between, you know, wanting it and letting it go. So thus we seek to suppress these old thoughts and feelings in our quest to be more mindful. And an inner conflict arises. The idea here is to observe and acknowledge where you are psychologically and emotionally right now, okay? Not to become entangled in an inner battle, to overcome it. Again, remember, no conflict, no violence, okay? So whatever is going on inside of you that you're trying to let go of, and there's this battle going on, you just want to observe it. No conflict, no violence. So how, you ask, do I overcome these feelings that I have? You know, the idea is to observe them from a point of mindfulness rather than forgetfulness. Mindful observation of negative emotions allows you to observe them without actually becoming them. However, forgetful observation, on the other hand, causes you to become fully engaged in the emotions you're observing. So you get I think you can hear the difference in perspective. So when mindful observation, you know, with mindful observation, you learn to remain at peace, even though what you are observing is not peaceful. But with forgetful observation, you become what you are observing. So I think that's enough to think about for right now. And again, I would love to have discussion about this in the Zoom session after the parts of this that you would like to talk about some more. So I'm going to end with a quote from Emily Cady, right? And she says, no person or thing in the universe, okay, No chain of circumstances can, by any possibility, insert itself between you and all the joy and good that is yours by divine right. And so it is. Amen. And now we're going to have meditation with Pamela.
So, Unity Family, let's take the next few moments to turn away from distractions, worries, fears, and doubts. Breathe in easily and gently. And as you release your breath, release all that has previously taken place in your life and all that is yet to occur. Take in another deep breath and release it. As you do, you prepare your mind to become deeply inspired in your life and affairs. Now I ask that you take the following words as your very own. Peace comes with the stillness I meet at the center of my heart. In this place, nothing can disturb me. In these few moments, all outer circumstances have no hold on me. The power of divine inspiration lives inside of me. So I open myself up to this inspiration. Now, this inspiration may come to me as a gentle thought. It may come to me as a feeling inside. Maybe it's a sound I hear in nature as I set an intention to look and listen for inspiration throughout my week. My connection to divine wisdom easily and gently brings my intention to what inspires me. I act on this inspiration and feel the blessings from it moment by moment, day by day. I live an inspired life as I begin to return to the rest of my day. I feel the peace that comes in stillness. So now I ask that we pause for prayer and reflection and meditation in the silence. In this Lenten season, we can affirm for ourselves, I am inspired to release pessimism and negative thinking. I am inspired to renew my positive expectations. And Holy Spirit, we are so grateful that this is so. In the name and nature of Jesus Christ, we say, Amen. When you are ready, return to your surroundings and join us. We thank you for being present.
Thank you, Hannah. That was great. So this is the time we open our hearts and minds to allow some of the treasure that flows into our personal life to flow into our spiritual home. And we thank you, thank you, thank you for all the wonderful gifts and blessings you've been sending to Unity Center of Light. And I'm going to ask you to hold your offering in your heart, in your mind, in your spirit as we say our offering blessing together. Together,
we bless and give thanks for these tithes and offerings as they go forth to continue the healing, loving work being done through the Unity Center of Light.
Amen. All right. And you have light notes.
Yes. Light notes for today, Sunday, March the 13th. Our annual membership meeting is today at 1 p.m. All are invited to participate, but only Unity Center of Light members may vote. The link for this virtual meeting is in your updates and e-newsletter. And it is at 1 o'clock, but we ask that you could come on a little earlier. That would be helpful. Next Sunday, March 20th, our speaker is Janelle Renshaw. She is our Eastern Region's youth consultant. Her talk title is Rushing the Sunshine. The book club meets March 20th, also at 1 p.m., to discuss the book Ego is the Enemy. Now, our Women of Unity group, we're still waiting for RSVPs, and we're now going to put a deadline on that, so no later than March 21st for us to do our visioning board activity. And for all other announcements, please check your updates and your e-newsletter.
All right. So now it is time to
bless the path that we walk this week. Let's say our affirmation with passion, zeal, and gusto. Together, I go forward in the spirit of the Lord, knowing my way is made easy, joyous, healthy, and prosperous. And I am grateful.
All right, and now we're going to go right into our prayer for protection together.
The light of God surrounds us. I am light. The love of God enfolds us. I am love. The power of God protects us. I am power. The presence of God watches over us. I am presence. Wherever we are, God is. I am divine, and all is well. And that's the truth.
All right. Well, thank you so much for being with us. It's been a pleasure to bring this service to you. Again, we hope to see you in the Zoom service right after this. And we also hope to see you at the membership meeting at 1 o'clock. And you don't have to be a member to be part of the membership meeting. And we'd like for you to be there because we're going to discuss the question, what is it that you really want to do in person? Okay, so please join us for that discussion and all other things we're going to talk about then. Other than that, have a wonderful week.
See you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.